Well, good morning. How are you guys today? You got the extra hour sleep. How about that? Isn't that nice? Man, we love that. It's a good thing. It's a good thing, except you're going to be hungry and not know why earlier. Like, why am I so hungry? I can't figure this out. But gosh, I'm so glad you're here today. I wanted to say a personal thank you for everyone that's participated last month in our Reach campaign to help us raise money to really begin to know him more, make him known, really to make God known in our community. One of the biggest things we're trying to do is reach out, not just be a church that speaks to those that are here, but really working on reaching out. And so whether you're watching us online, there's some big changes going to happen to the quality of our broadcast here in the days ahead. Thanks to your generosity to participate with that. Down the hall in our kids' ministry, many things have taken place. During the work week, this place is a madhouse of vendors and work being done, and then we try to put it all back together to make sure we have church on Sunday. Our cafe is a big storage room while all this is happening, but some great upgrades taking place. I'm looking forward to you to be able to see them in the weeks and months ahead. And also, one of the things that I'm probably most excited about is two different campaigns to reach out to our community, specifically to the unchurched. There'll be something coming on Facebook soon, but right now what's happening actually launches tomorrow on secular radio. On Hits 106.3, there's going to be a radio campaign, and it's geared to, in just a minute you're going to hear a sample of what the radio campaign sounds like, but there are one-minute spots that we have been able to purchase thanks to your generosity, and God has really given us an incredible opportunity to get this partnership. But what we're doing is we're advertising not North Point Church on the radio. We are sharing God's word on the radio. And so North Point, we have a link at the end that you can say for more information to learn more about these verses. You can go to a certain link to be able to do that. But the campaign starts tomorrow. And the goal is, and I want you to listen to the recipe and the script of how we're going to power following this, is that we read God's word. And then we ask a question or a prompt associated with God's word, and then we reread God's word again. We believe that God's word will not return void. We know that it will never be in vain when it's spoken because it's a living, active word of God. And so we want to get that word on the radio. And so listening on secular radio, because look, our goal is this. Our goal is not to grow the church with churched people. All right. I mean, that's never the goal, proselytizing from other churches and trying to grow our church so other at other churches' expense is never the goal of North Point. Our desire is that we would see unchurched people and also de-churched people come to Christ. Now, what's a de-churched person? Well, you may have been a de-churched person. A de-churched person is someone who has grown up maybe in a church environment, but for some reason, some way, shape, or form, you got disenfranchised with that particular church or denomination. Maybe there was just a leadership issue that was there. Maybe it was a moral failure. Maybe you went to a business meeting and just wished you'd never been a part of that. Maybe you were a part of leadership and the church that you were a part of had an underbelly that you just were just turned off by. But one thing had happened, and maybe in your life, and you just gave up on church altogether because you kind of broad brushed, the church in general with that way. And so what we want to be a place that welcomes those folks and that their experience is different from what they grew up in and what they've experienced at previous churches, that they would see humble and transparent leadership and healthy leadership and a staff that loves each other. Our goal, and we believe you'll find that when you're here, but we want unchurched people to find us. And so we have to go to places where unchurched people are. And so one of those avenues is the radio. So we're not going to advertise on Joy FM. And so our goal is to try to go to where people that are listening to the radio that aren't believers. And so here's a sample of what one of those radio spots is. And know, again, you had a part in this. Because of your faithfulness and your giving, you have a chance for these to go on the radio. There's going to be over 300 radio spots between now and January 31st, all the way through the holidays. Really, really incredible time. Let's listen to the spot. Hi, this is Pastor Steve from the North Point Church with another one-minute message. God says in Isaiah 26:3 that God will keep you in perfect peace, all those whose minds are fixed on him because they trust in him. Did you hear that? God will keep you in perfect peace when your eyes are fixed on him. How bad do you need that kind of peace in your life right now? Have you recently lost a job? Or maybe you're struggling with a situation that everything just seems completely out of control. Well, God says, fix your eyes on me and I will give you
perfect peace. Do you have a relationship with God? If not, what's stopping you from calling out to Him in prayer right now? Again, His Word says, God will keep you in perfect peace, all whose minds are fixed on Him, because they trust in Him. To learn more about today's verse or explore other verses, go to northpointfl.org/radio today. Until next time, this is Pastor Steve from the North Point Church, reminding you that God is real, His Word is true, and that has the power to change your life.
Amen. It's pretty exciting, isn't it? So there'll be over 90 individual radio spots that will play over 300 times over the course between now and January 31st. And that's huge. And so it's our prayer. We may never see. It's our prayer that the Holy Spirit would use this in a powerful way. We'd love to see a product of that or fruit of that here in our church. But the goal is really kingdom fruit. And so if we can just say something on the radio that would prompt in their heart and point out an emptiness or a void that we believe God can fill, and we can use God's word to be the tool and not trying to promote a church, but to promote God's word, we believe it's going to have fruit. And we may not know all that fruit until we get to heaven, but I'm confident that there's going to be fruit from this type of effort. And so thank you again for your participation with that. Can we just pray right now and ask the Holy Spirit to use this in a powerful way? Let's just pray. Father, I do believe that the most powerful thing that we have in our earthly ability, it's that is going and calling upon you in prayer. Lord, your Holy Spirit has the power to touch and transform any life, Father. The hardest of hearts can be transformed through your power. And your word, Father, being true and sharper than a two-edged sword that can pierce between the division of soul and spirit, and can discern the thoughts and the intentions of the heart as it's been read across the radio waves in the upcoming days, Father. I pray that there will be a man or woman or student who will listen to these scriptures and will be compelled, and not know why, but be compelled in their heart that there must be something real, there must be something true and worthy to pursue of a God who says that He loves them regardless of what they've done in their life. I pray, God, that we would see fruit from this personally, but ultimately, God, that you would see fruit from this, that the kingdom would grow and lives would be changed. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I also want to say thank you for your... last week, Pastor Corey had challenged you guys to fill out prayer cards. Do you remember that after service? He said, man, just take a minute and fill out prayer cards. And whether you use the app or you use the card in the seat pocket in front of you, he was encouraging you to do that. And wow, what a response we got. And I want to say thank you, and I want to encourage you to continue to do that. And one of the things, we had probably 30 prayer cards, maybe more, I don't know, I didn't count them, but our staff table was just covered with prayers as we read each one of them as a team and pray for those individual prayers. But what was specifically powerful and poignant to me was what you chose to pray about. Not only were there prayers of hospital things and medical issues, but the majority of prayers, no kidding, the majority of prayers that were lifted up on the prayer cards were you praying for people in your life, your circle of influence, in your friendships, in your family, who don't know Jesus Christ. Do you know what that does to your staff as the leaders of this church? As we read the prayers of our church body, that we realize that you're burdened not just for your own personal problems, which we all carry those, but there was an overarching response of people who are praying for lost people in their lives. Folks, let me encourage you. That is what this is all about. That is what we exist for. We exist so that lost people can encounter Jesus Christ through a relationship with us. We're ambassadors for Christ. Our job is to make sure that anyone who's unchurched or de-churched, someone who's disenfranchised by the church, can experience something by encountering you, and that you can point them to a hope of a forgiver and a leader, someone who loves them in spite of the mistakes and choices that they've made. This is a beautiful thing. And my heart was just so full because I realized this is the church that we have, people who care more about the salvation of others than their own personal struggles that they go through. So I want to encourage you to continue to pray prayers like that, and we'll join you and we come alongside you. But I also want you to know, as we pray for those prayer requests, we realize that God is likely, because He's placed those people on your heart as the burden, He's likely going to use you to be the voice of the opportunity to be the one to share your faith. And that puts a big responsibility back in your court. And the time for you to get prepared for that crucial conversation, the eternal conversation, will not be in the moment when the conversation happens. It will be in preparation in a proactive way. And so not only are you praying for those individuals by name, and we're joining you, you need to also be prepared in everything that you say and do in your testimony and understanding their lives and what they need to understand about Jesus Christ in the context of who they are. We need to make sure that we're sharing the confident hope that we have inside of us. And so I pray when that day comes that you will be bold and that you will do well and you won't blow it. Because I know I've left people. Have you ever had that conversation with someone? You're like, oh, I finally got the chance, and then I think I just totally blew it, you know? I think when you're proactive and you pray and you prepare for that moment, you're going to do just fine. The Holy Spirit will come alongside you, and we're going to see life change. It's the staff's prayer that this place would be full, and this place would be a welcoming church for the unchurched and for the de-churched. Let's bring them here, because I believe they're going to experience a true experience with the Holy Spirit that's going to powerfully change their life. God is real, His word is true, and that has the power to change their life. Enough of that, but that's important stuff. It's a big week in the life of our country, would you agree? We have this little thing called an election, think on Tuesday or something like that. And Lord willing, by 2022, we'll probably know who the president is, depending on how all that voting thing takes place. And you know, if you've been around church long enough, or maybe your first time watching, or you're here first time at church, I'm not a political person. I choose not to use this platform as a political platform because really and truly, there's enough of that garbage that you got to listen to throughout the course of a week, especially as the election gets here. You can't turn on the radio without another smear campaign or another just spot that just kind of turns your stomach. And so I get it. And as I prayed about this campaign, though, but as I prayed about this message, I really felt God placed upon my heart not to be political, because you'll never hear that coming from me, because I do understand within our church, we're divided politically. Not everyone's going to have that, Democrat or Republican mindset. We're divided. We're a non-denominational church, and because of that, you do experience different political viewpoints because we're people. And so with that said, I feel like God still wants me to address what's going on in our hearts regarding the political landscape. And the message today that I want to submit to you is entitled "The Separation Between Church and Hate." Because as Christians, we need to be people who are brokers of love and not hate. And we exist in an environment that is incredibly polarized right now. And how do we respond in the appropriate way? Now, in just a moment, I'm going to put some pictures on the screen with the intention of making you think and examine just some of parts of our hearts and minds. But I'm going to ask you, before I put these pictures on the screen, to contain yourself and don't have any outbursts. Just get it? You understand what I'm saying? We don't want to create a division within the room, because all of a sudden, all the Democrats are going this side, all the Republicans on this side of the room. Let's just try not to get into some type of political battle here today. But before we do that, here's a test image to make sure you can follow the rules. So here's an image. Don't respond to it. Well, I just told you not to respond to it. It's a wiener dog. Okay, some people failed in the front rows. I thought we were ready. So that's why I have two test images. Here's our second test image. Oh, my gosh. First service, they aced it. All right, you guys ready? Come on, help me now. Here's your first image. Here's your second image. The people that I stole these yard signs from are probably very upset this morning. In addition to these pictures and these campaign signs, I'm now going to put on the screen some faces that represent these parties. Again, hold your response. This first picture is the Democratic side. those influencers that are associated with that. And now I want to place up the images of some of the Republican side and some of the journalists associated with that. All right, you can take the pictures down. The test is over, and you passed very well, so thank you very much. So now we're not going to be a political fight when we get out. And I promise I'll try to find the houses I took these signs from. But I showed you those pictures in hopes to reveal something inside your heart as you looked. Because for some, our political views are so strong that when we saw the campaign signs, our heart began to boil at a certain candidate, a certain mindset, a certain policy, a certain personality. And then I put up the pictures of those political parties, of people that we see sound bites from on the media all the time. And depending on what side of the aisle you're on, you have emotions that will be associated with that. For some, it will incite anger. For some, it'll bring fear. For some, it'll bring malice. For some, it'll bring anxiety and worry, bitterness and rage, hostility. We see dishonesty. We see people who are smug and prideful and arrogant and haughty. Again, on either side of the aisle, depending on your position, you see these things. And some of you have to really deal with issues of profanity that was running around in your mind. What came to mind when you saw those faces and when you saw those signs? What happened in your heart? The reason I ask us to be quiet is because my prediction is that we all have a little bit of oof inside of us. If I was to ask you to describe, if you're on the Republican side, if I was asking you to describe certain people that you saw on the screen, whether it be Pelosi or Schiff or anyone like that, how would you describe those individuals? If I was on the Democratic side and I put up on the screen Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro, Hannity, or those people, how would you describe those individuals to others? And I guess the bigger question is, would you ever invite those individuals over to your house to share a dinner with your family? There are some pertinent people that I'd have to really think twice about. I know in my heart. And so I want us to compare those emotions this morning, and intentionally, I know it's been a setup, right? Because I'm trying to draw this out of us, but I think that if you pay attention to the political landscape, you can't help but have some type of opinion about these things. But as Christians, we need to compare our emotions and our feelings with what God's word teaches us as believers. And so let's read kind of the gold standard for us. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. Don't use foul or abusive language. Some of you blew it right when you saw certain faces on the screen in your mind. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He's identified you as His own. You're Christians, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So we have an inheritance and a responsibility to carry ourselves as believers. So Paul says in verse 31, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, we need to be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven us. I didn't pass the test well, and I wrestled with the test because even putting it on the screen, I knew I had to resolve some things in my heart because, yes, I do have some political views and a party line in which that my heart seems to lean towards, just like you do. I'm human, and again, my job is not to be political here, but what I'm afraid of, and I think the big problem, and the reason that I think God has me speaking to this today, is the problem along the way is that our political views and our party lines that we're so loyal to have somehow infiltrated from a political issue to changing it over to a personal issue and a personal issue of hate towards individuals. many of individuals you've never met personally, but you've only seen represented on the media. We don't know who these people are, but yet we have managed to grow to hate certain people because of where they stand and because of the ideology that's behind them. So there's a problem there, and this is what I want to put our finger on today in our heart, that we can't let our political views and we can't let our party lines shift over to personal hate. Why? Because God loves everybody. And God has given you and I the responsibility as an ambassador to make sure that you and I are the ones who can reach them for Jesus Christ. Although we may disagree vehemently with them, we still have to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ in the way that we speak, in the way that we handle ourselves. Not just on the political arena. Because that same level of tension also bleeds into our homes and into our jobs, into our families, and it can also bleed into our church. You can have a different political view as other people in your family, and it's created tension and fighting. As a matter of fact, you're freaked out already because Thanksgiving's coming and Christmas, and you know, if your candidate doesn't win or your candidate wins, I mean, what are we going to say, and how's dinner going to go? It's going to be the most awkward dinner for some of your families because you can't talk without getting in a fight about that. And we play into the hand of Satan when we do that. And so my encouragement to you, my loving encouragement to you is that yes, there are going to be issues in the political realm that are incredibly important to you. And I would encourage you, if you're going to stand on an issue, stand on something that is biblically right, not just political. But let's make sure we stand for biblical principles. But even when we make a stand for biblical principles, there is an appropriate response as believers that we must be exhibiting. That we must not give in to what the world does and shift it over to hate, where we're slandering each other with anger and malice and those things. We have to find a way to be able to speak truth and love. Again, a separation between church and hate. When people look at Christians, they should not see us as hate mongers or slanderers against other people. The truth of the matter is, the campaign will be over eventually, and there will be a candidate that will be declared a winner eventually. But the things that you and I have said or commented or liked or retweeted or supported, whether verbally or in type or in print or in text, I want it to age well for you. I want the responses that if someone was to go back and look at how you responded to a certain thing, that it was seasoned with salt and light and love. Because remember, I preached a few weeks ago that truth spoken in love always ages well. This is what I want for you to experience. Because here's what's at stake. There are people in your life who have differing political views as you, who are well known to you. They know you well. And for your sake, they may be on your list of people that don't know Jesus Christ. And you and I need to be the people who can somehow still hold their attention and hold their ear. And if we shut them down with some type of political stuff and garbage, they're not going to want to hear us. And you'll be a clanging gong, a clashing cymbal, and you will not be able to share with them this love that God has been empowering us to give. It's our responsibility to be able to share the love of Jesus Christ to an unchurched world and a de-churched world. And chances are they're going to have a different moral view than you. Chances are they're going to have a different political view than you. But we want them to listen to us so that they can hear about Jesus. The winner of this election is not a surprise to God. He already knows. Daniel 4:17 says, "For this has been decreed by the messengers." This is in the book of Daniel. "It is commanded by the Holy One so that everyone may know," and this is the thing I want you to lean into, "that the Most High rules," or is sovereign, "over the kingdoms of men, and he gives them to anyone he chooses, even the lowliest of people." Do you realize that God, since the creation of this earth, when political leaders and kings were placed into power, there's not one of those individuals that God has not had an understanding and a hand and permitted to happen. Yes, even the most tragic leaders. Look, the world that we live in has got a kind of a serious, sad ending, right, until Christ returns. The Bible tells us that we are not going to self-actualize and become better as a globe, but actually we are diminishing in our morals and we're diminishing in our integrity and we're chasing after our own pleasures and wealth and those things. And as you watch the political landscape, God has put people into place. He put the Pharaoh in place. We saw him anoint King David, but later would, and although Saul was in place, God timed that whole thing out. Look, God is in control. And even if your candidate doesn't win this election, God is still on the throne and he is sovereign. And although our country may change, so your deepest fears or your deepest concerns, God is still sovereign and still in control. And he is coming again as he's promised. But it's our responsibility. We can't hold back the storm of what happens in the world. But what we can do is be responsible to make sure that the people that we encounter and the people that we touch can have a hope in Christ. So we need to make sure that the things that we say age well. That we speak the truth in love. And that we're not known as people of hate, we're known as people of love. The moral trajectory of the world is a downward trajectory. There's an image I want to place on the screen of this kind of arrow that's going down, stepping. It's full of people. No matter what political party you're in, you would have to agree that that is the reality of the world that we live in. And so let me ask you a question. If your candidate wins on November 3rd, will your candidate change the trajectory of this? No. They don't have the power to do that. Who has the power to change the morality of the human heart? Jesus Christ. So follow this logic. The leaders of the world cannot change the morality of this world. Jesus Christ can change the hearts of the people of this world. And how are the hearts of the people of this world impacted? Through the testimonies of the Christians and Christ ambassadors of the world, which is us. So follow that logic. Your political leaders are not going to change the morality of this world. Only Jesus can, and Jesus uses you to be the broker of that hope. That's why it's so important that our testimony be biblically correct, and we stand on those morals and those things that are biblical, but even in the areas that we're most passionate about, we do it in love, realizing our goal is to reach the unchurched, to reach the lost, and reach those that are disenfranchised by God in this church, and they think that religion is just a mess. We've got to teach them differently. Through your relationships with non-believers, because they won't hear unless you tell them. And if they can't hear you because of what you've done and what you said, and they tune you out, then what good is your testimony to them? Your prayer cards told me that those individuals, those lost people in your life, really matter to you. Maybe it's time for you to adjust the way you're thinking and speaking in the political realm and that hate speech for the benefit of those that are listening to you to realize there's really love in you, there's not hate. So what's the proper response to all this as a Christian? It's kind of overwhelming, right? I've told you that, yes, we need to stand on biblical principles, yes. And there'll be a time when that'll get harder and harder for us as believers. Right now, it's not so hard. It just costs us something because people kind of snap back when you do that. But again, learn how to do it in love, and you'll get a lot further in those explanations. But what's our proper response? I'm going to read to you some scriptures this morning, starting in 1 Timothy chapter 2. says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Do you see the first word there of that? All people. Pray for all people. Asking God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. And give thanks for them. Verse 2 says we need to pray this way for who? For kings. And who else? Say it with me. And all who are in, come on, in authority. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority. That's all the elected officials and your local and state and national levels. So that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good, God's word says, and what? It pleases God our Savior. When we pray for those in authority, God's word says this is good and it pleases God our Savior. Verse 4, why? Who wants everyone to be saved. His objective is always on the micro level. And that's the salvation of individuals. Yes, there's all these other things happening. But on the kingdom perspective, God wants the heart of the individual, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever prayed for the soul of a political leader? How about those pictures that I put up in the beginning of the message, those people who made your skin crawl, frustrated and angry with? Can you imagine yourself going to the throne on behalf of them and asking God to save their soul? Not in righteous indignation, but out of true love and care that they're going to spend an eternity separated from God. I wonder what would happen if we prayed for the salvation of our political leaders with the same fervency and passion as you're praying for your family members that you wrote on those prayer cards. I wonder what would happen in our country. Would it change the trajectory of the world in terms of God's return? No. But would it make sure that more people have found Jesus Christ and will spend an eternity in heaven? Absolutely. In our government, there are believers who are quite bold about their faith. And in our government, there's people that clearly, you know, don't know Jesus Christ. And while you and I will probably never have a conversation with these political people because we just don't have a circle of influence that they would entertain our conversation, there are people in government who have the boldness and who have a heart of Christ that potentially they are the ones that God is going to place in the path. What if you were to pray for those political leaders who you know are believers to be bold in their testimony, not back down in the way they share their faith and love? Not just to stand on biblical principles in the voting sessions, but they would reach across the aisle and be able to win the hearts of those individuals who don't know him. Our country was founded on godly principles by imperfect people who made some really big mistakes. But they understood that God was an essential part of the relationship, and it's been lost. But as believers, can you just remember this week and after the election, whether your candidate wins or not, to make sure that you say everything that you say ages well? Because there will ultimately be a winner that we must submit to. Romans chapter 13, 1 says, everyone must submit to governing authorities. That means after this election, we still have to submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Can you prepare your heart to submit to whatever authority God places in office? Titus chapter 3 says, remind the believers to submit to the government as and its officers. They should be obedient and always ready to do what is good. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling, and instead they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. You know what blows me away about these three passages? The 1 Timothy passage I read to you, the Romans passage I just read to you, and now the Titus passage I just read to you, where we're being encouraged and admonished to submit to the authorities of the land. And I know when you read that, you're thinking, but yeah, you don't know our situation and the people and the world is just a mess and what's getting ready to happen and whatever your political bent is. I mean, you have all your fear and all your thoughts that are associated with that. But what blows me away about those three specific passages of scripture written by Paul, it was written by an individual who is being oppressed by the government like we have never experienced personally. He was persecuted, he was beaten, and he was thrown in prison while he saw other Christians persecuted, beaten, and killed even for their faith. Talk about a hostile government. Talk about a mess politically going on. Talk about political rogue political leaders who have no business being in office, who are using the platform as their opportunity to expand their own goals and their own things. I mean, can you just see our own culture here today? But this was far worse. But yet Paul says, it's good and it pleases God for us to submit to authority. So we shouldn't slander anyone. We should avoid quarreling. And we should pray for everyone that God's placed in leadership above us. Does that put it in a perspective for you that you can wrap your mind around? It does for me. Because when I'm tempted to think that our situation is so different than biblical, I have to think, you know what, I'm not being imprisoned for my faith. I can speak publicly. Now, there might be a time for that. God's word tells us that it's not going to get easy for us as believers. Wow. You know, I hope that we don't have to live through that personally, but it's imminent, right? God's word tells us about these things. But even then, how much more important will it be for us to still follow the script that God's given us? You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You have a single purpose on this earth outside of career and family and all those things is to make sure that people that you come in contact with discover the same hope that you discovered, that there is a God who loves them, that despite all the mistakes and reckless garbage that they've ever done, regardless of their deepest regrets and darkest shames, there is a God that says, I forgive you for all those things, if you just come to a faith and knowledge of me. This is what God wants. And you and I have the greatest and easiest story, but we're fearful to tell it. But I can tell you how you won't be fearful. If everything that you say comes to the lens of being seasoned with salt and light and love, it will age well. And people will be drawn to you because they will understand that you have a confident hope that only can come through something that's true. And you know that truth is from Jesus Christ, who has the power to change their life. So what I want to do right now is to close in prayer, because 2 Chronicles says this, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves in prayer and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will restore their land. And while this verse isn't a direct prayer for the country of America, this was written to a different group of people, but it does teach us about God's heart. It teaches us the importance to God to have a humble heart when we come to him, and that we should pray not only for ourselves but for our nation. We should humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways. So as far as you are living and can have control over your life, turn from your wicked ways, repent from your sins, pray for your nation. I want to lead us in a prayer, and then at the end, Pastor Steve Williams will come out and close the service down, but would you join me in a very important prayer for our country? Father, your word says that you are sovereign over the kingdoms of men, and you give them and you entrust them to whoever you choose. And over the course of history, Father, and world history, we can see men and women that have risen up that have honored you and men and women that have dishonored you. But Lord, we trust in your sovereignty that all those things are working according to your plan. And now here it is, Father, our country is facing an election that is very divisive. And I think in our hearts there's a little bit of fear, kind of wondering, well, that's going to play out. Individually, we have our preferences of who our candidates would be, but we don't really know how it's going to shape up. And in truth, many of us doubt the process, and we think that through corruption, the election might be tainted. On both sides of the aisle, God, these are politically and emotionally charging things. But God, your word says that we cast our cares to you, and your word tells us that you are the one that places rulers and kings into position. And so we do right by laying this burden down at your feet and trusting you. By exercising our vote and our responsibility, I pray, God, that you would allow us to be people who would stand on biblical principles and not just political ideology. I pray that when the time comes for us to be bold for you and take a stand for you, that we'd be willing to do it, but that our words will always be seasoned with salt, love, and light, recognizing that people who come back and hear our stories and watch our testimony, if we do that correctly, God, will be only drawn to you because your love will be so evident. It's not a manipulation, God. Your love just changes hearts. And oh, I want our church family to be people that get to see life change because we were just authentic, relatable people, God, humble people who understand that you have full control. Father, in the days past the election, we anticipate that there's going to be unrest in our country, but I pray that, Father, you would protect our city and our families and our community. Allow us, God, not to fuel those fires, but to be brokers and ambassadors of peace as well. And God, I pray that we would individually and collectively turn from our wicked ways and seek your face. May you be pleased with us, Father, and may you protect this great country that we have the freedom to worship you in. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Steve, will you close us out?